Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. We're here to talk about the big game that we just played against the Warriors. We've been talking a lot with everybody that will listen about the Thunder, about the old Thunder, the one that was the young Thunder, the Thunder University Thunder, and this new young Thunder, and how those teams stack up. So join us all the way to the end if you want to find out what everybody thinks about this new fucking version of the Thunder. Dave, what's up, bro?
How's it going, man? How you doing?
Man, you know, I went to bed at halftime. Watched the rest of the game in the morning. Halftime, I just accepted, like, we're probably not going to win this game. But then I started watching the second half this morning. And I started rolling, and everything started. I was like, wait, we might win this game. Now, The Warriors, they've got championship pedigree. Tip of the hat to them. But I am so glad we play them in three games, dude. We get another shot at those fuckers.
Yeah, to me, it was just an excellent execution of coaching from the Warriors. They recognized how to attack us. They did an incredible job in that first quarter. I hated that first quarter. It was awful to see. But the reality is that this is such a great learning process for these young guys. When you're playing against a championship caliber team and they pretty much double up your score in the first quarter, you have to recognize that you guys did not come out prepared, whereas Golden State
did. What happened there, bro? Like, Shea had, like, what, 2 points in the first half or maybe four because he got that layup? Like it wasn't just, like, we came out and we weren't prepared because we were like, hyped. We were ready to play. So, like, was it over-prep?
No, I don't think it was over-prep. I think the Golden State Warriors came out with a different game plan than we were prepping for. And I think that when they did that, because obviously Golden State, you know, you said it the best, they win championships. So you got Steph, you got Clay, and you got Kerr on the bench. Like, these guys, they know how to play in these situations. And playing a young team is not a new thing for them.
Early in the game, it felt like they were getting easy looks because we were overplaying them, and they were getting backdoor cuts, and they were making stuff at the rim.
Game plan. Right? It's the game plan by coach.
And then late in the game, they were hitting tough shots. Like, this game had rhythm and tempo. It was an exciting game. Yo, I'm just going to say it right now. Playoff atmosphere is back in Chesapeake Arena. I mean, and Paycom Arena, baby. Right? Like, Paycom. The name has changed. This place is the same, and the energy is coming
back. It's called
back.
Loud City for a reason, right, man. Like, that place gets rocking.
We were talking about it after the Sacramento game. It was like, hey, this is playoff-style basketball in Sacramento. Well, now it's back at Paycom, bro. And I just want to ask you, bro, like this Warriors team, they haunt our dreams, bro. Like, we've seen them take us out in 2016. We've seen them take us out so many epic games, like classic games in this arena. And here we are with a new version, and it felt a little bit like a horror film, didn't it?
It did, but you know what, though? I got to say is fuck the Warriors, first of all. And second of all, I want to be really super clear on this right here, is that the Warriors are getting old, all right? They don't have draft picks. They don't have stuff like that. I mean, they got draft picks, but they're getting fucking old. They don't have much more time to bask in this glow. So as they get old and we start rising, it's going to be beautiful because we're going to start beating the shit out of them. And they're going to start looking at us and being like, oh, we got to go back to that rebuild scenario.
Yeah.
That's where this is at. Like, they're in their last, you know, true couple years of making a run for the finals, because let's just be honest, they have probably two more runs to the finals if they have the opportunity without being injured, because that's the biggest issue I look at with the Warriors, is that if they can stay injury free, then they're going to be good. But that's the biggest, you know, ultimatum right there with the Warriors is stay healthy, get to the finals. Don't stay healthy, and the freaking Thunder will beat the shit out of you.
It felt like we should have won the game in the end.
We should have.
But it also felt like the Warriors knew how to do the right things. I can mention just a couple of things that would be like, wow. Shea knocked down a three, but right before he caught the ball, he was stepping out of bounds. This was in the first quarter. Like, this could have got us going. Like, as the game went on, bro, like, there were, like, 9 calls that were just fucking bullshit. Or, like, they took away momentum.
Did you see what the NBA officials did, though?
No.
Because they took the momentum away from us.
Yeah.
But they put us on the free throw line. We had the same amount of free throws as Golden State. So they're listening, right? They're hearing everybody complain about the free throws, but they're not making the calls different. They're not making the impactful. The six, we talked about it. Every game comes down to 6 calls.
Right.
You know, you can make a game in the NBA change, even if it's a 20-point game, with 6 calls. So you see this, and this is a perfect example of that. Like, last night, you said the momentum stopped. You know, like we would get on a nice little run, and all of a sudden, bam, a bad call or a call that would make us wonder. Like, again, this is teaching our guys not to argue and fight with the officials, because this is we can't have that for this team. You know, this team is all about getting extra points wherever they're available. And if that means we don't get technicals and we get extra points because of that, that's huge.
Yeah, and the situation as the game went on, right? Late in the fourth quarter, I think about 2 minutes left, we got it all the way down to five. We were able to get Giddey, you know, to the basket, and like he just missed the layup. I don't know if he got fouled, right? But like you have to finish through contact, and I think that would have cut it down to a single possession game, you know. And but then on the other end, they go down and hit a three or something like that. Like it's these 5-point swings happen all the time in the NBA, but you get it to that point where you're about to cut it to a 1-point lead or a 1-possession lead, and you know, I think we had maybe even a second time where that happened too, where we were right there, and there. If we had just, you know, hit that three or got that rebound or whatnot, we would have been fine. But
how'd you feel like, all right, we've been playing a lot of teams with big men, right? And we've seen the big men, you know, be effective, but in the, you know, kind of neglected in that way. We saw last night a small ball form of what we play. How do you feel like we played against that? I know then, like I said, in the first quarter we struggled, but Looney didn't play that much, you know, like Kuminga didn't play that much, you know, like these are the guys that they've been, you know, they're big guys, you know.
So
Wiseman didn't play.
Here's what I'd say, bro. Like Jalen Williams from Arkansas is the key. Like I think at this point, a lot of people have maybe kind of looked at him and said, okay, he's a second round pick. He'll be ready in a couple years. No, he's ready right now. And not only that, we needed him. And we've had some of our listeners hit us up and be like, you know, some of these games where we haven't been playing him, we could have used him. Why do you think we didn't play him? And a lot of it's based on planning and scheduling. Well, I heard Coach Daigneault talk, and he wasn't planning on using Jay Will this game. But he did, because he needed a different type of energy, and he brought that energy. This was, for me, an enormous game for him. Not just because, oh, he went out there and put up 12 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, you know, like...
1 steal.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's not why I'm looking at this and being like, oh, wow, massive game. It's the pressure, the conditions, the way he did it. His passing was leading cutters. His rebounding was, like, anticipation levels were off the charts. His ability to stretch the court was crazy good. I heard a question after the game that, you know, asked him about Draymond Green as a comp to his game. And that really inspired me. And I just feel like with Jay Will, like, he is the starting center of this group. Now, we're going to get Poku back. We're going to get JRE back. You know, those guys are going to end up getting minutes. But they may not be a better starting center for this group than Jay Will. He's that good. And he's going to have to, you know, work eventually with Chet. Like, we're going to have to figure out all the elements of it. But, like, what do you guys want from a guy who is the, you know, the best charge taker we've ever seen as a rookie? He's already improved his 3-point shot to, like, a really, really high level. And I know he's not going out there and taking high-volume threes, but all he has to do is be able to force other teams to respect him. And Draymond was having to close out on him. That was a big part. And Kenny... I love the way Kenny plays, right? And Kenny's all about, you know, effort. But Jay Will has this ability. I don't know what it is, man. It's like this calmness, this demeanor that, like...
It's the it factor, man.
Yeah, it's like the game... I've heard people say a lot of times, like, the game slows down for them, right? Jay Will slows the game down, right? In the right way. Because he's not, like, hanging onto the ball. He's not pounding it into the rock. Like into the ground. He's finding the cutters and he's leading them. He's finding the open three-pointers. He's starting to swing the ball around the court. He knows what he's looking for, and if it's not there, he gets off the ball. And that, to me, is something that we've been missing. And I think Kenny, like, depending on the matchup, okay, and for minutes, yeah. But Jay Will reminds me of Draymond, and that is fucking scary.
I love Jay Will. Jalen Williams from Arkansas, who is the first Vietnamese basketball player in the NBA. is truly spectacular. I love saying that just because it's so powerful. It's something that I take great pride in, is as the game grows, that we get to see more kids, from more young men from different nationalities. And, you know, Jay Will is one of those guys that he's going to carry this torch incredibly well because of the way he plays, the way he holds his heart, you know, so close. And I love the fact that you mentioned Draymond Green, because you look at Draymond Green and you're like, why is Draymond Green so good at what he does? Well, he does all the little things. You know, he's a pass first big man. He has no problems with throwing 12 assists in a game like he did last night. You know, like, Draymond Green, you know, is that person that you need, a glue player like that. And you look at Jay Will and you're saying, this young man not only has potential to be great, but he has that it factor. And how far will that it factor take you? And to me, that it factor for him is going to be the starting role on this team for an infinite amount of time, because anytime that you have a big guy that can take charges like he does, makes the other big guys that we're going to play against pick up fouls quickly. It's going to cause Chet to be able to get more blocks out there. He's going to be able to continue to pass the ball around and pass incredibly well for assist. He's always going to have 3 or 4 or 5 assists if he's playing 25 minutes. If you're looking at the way that he drives to the hole, he's incredibly impactful driving to the hole. But one of the things that Mark said that I really admire about him is his shot. This is not a normal shot. This is not he's going to be okay at 35% shooting for his career. He's going to be a 40% three-point shooter in his career. And because of that, you look at it and you're saying, okay, how far can this young man go? And when I say the starting lineup for him, I mean, truly, that is where he belongs if he keeps continuing to get better. And that's the key to what this whole Thunder organization does, is they take in these young guys, they develop their talents and what they're good at, right? And then they become better. And then all of a sudden you're seeing somebody like Jay Will that nobody would have ever given him an opportunity to be on a starting team, on a championship caliber team. But guess what? He's going to be there. And he's going to be one of those picks at Sam Presti that everybody's like, holy shit, how does Sam Presti get this guy in the second round? Mm-hmm. You know, like, Jay Lynn Williams is, in my opinion, the second round steal of last year, hands down, without even blinking about it at this moment.
Yeah, and that's after getting JRE the year before, and Wiggins also. I mean, we got some great second round talent scouts. And Isaiah Joe led the team in minutes off the bench. He had 10 points, so tack that on with Jalen Williams, so that's 22 from Arkansas there. How about that? And I felt like the Warriors definitely saw the scouting report on Isaiah Joe. They were closing out on him before he caught ball. They were closing that space out. So overall, we had great contributions from the bench, but we got to get back to the starters. So let's talk about Shea. 31 points, pretty amazing game, 7 assists.
Three blocks,
dude. It,
damn, dude.
It was a great game for him.
Listen, I got to go. I got to stop and just – I understand when people say that Shea shouldn't be in the top caliber of MVP because of this or that, you know, his stats. But just look at his defensive stats, guys. Like, if he's not in that top tier of a defensive guard in the NBA, right? That's cool, right? I understand what you're saying. But in my opinion, there's maybe one other guard that I would consider a better defender than Shea, all right? Then, on top of that, you're looking at the way that he is, like, controlling everything else. And to me, there's not – is there a better, you know, what I consider a two-way guard, like a defensive and offensive guard in the league? I can't think of one. I can't think of a player that is able to play at his caliber, adding 30 points a game at any time, and then is able to lock down defense.
That's another comp to Kobe and Mike, which were the great, great offensive players, but they took so much pride in their defense, bro.
So much pride. It's, to me, it's beautiful. Like, what he's doing right now, guys, like, is MVP caliber worthy? His defense is out of this world. His offense is out of this world. And people are still saying, Luka's doing better right now. I get it. Luka had 53 points,
bro.
But guess what? Luka is the biggest baby in the NBA right now. And I get it. He only plays offense, guys. The NBA isn't an only offensive league anymore. Like, it's changing. And that's what's thing we're seeing with the Oklahoma City Thunder, is our defense is so stifling, you know, except last night and the night before. But we're stifling on our defense. And I think that's the thing about it, is that we just got to continue doing what we're doing right now. This team is developing incredibly fast. And because of that, we're having an opportunity to be in that conversation of the playoffs. Period.
Yeah.
Everybody else is wailing out there. Like, the Utah Jazz are going to be trading people. They're going to be dropping down, right? I don't think Portland's going to be able to pull back and jump back into the conversation by winning, you know, 10 of the next 12 games. You know, I don't think they can do that. I don't think there's a lot of teams that are going to be able to continue to stay up with us. Yes, we've had almost a adverse reaction to getting to 500 right now, but that's going to change. Like, we're going to win 3 or 4 games in a row really, really fast here, and it's going to happen quickly.
Dude, you're right, and Shea's going to be the catalyst of it, and what he did was amazing, overcoming, you know, very, very difficult start in a game you can tell he really wanted to do well in. But look,
it's the heart.
It's the heart, and we've seen the Warriors play this way before many times. So for us, it's our turn to assert our will going forward. But one of the big, you know, things you can see coming together is just like our jumbo guard lineups, right? We're sitting here with Shea and then Josh Giddey, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. Like, that's a very similar line to Shea's, right? And then you're looking at J-Dub, 19 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Like, this team is starting to really take shape, and you're starting to see those 3 guys that I just mentioned as far as like leading and scoring. What we're talking about, bro, is a new version of a super team, bro.
Absolutely. And last night was a fluke. I want to let you guys know that. Last night was the first night that I think Shea and Josh both had a combined for 10 turnovers. Like, that's a fucking fluke, guys. What happened last night won't happen again. Like, I understand all this other stuff and all this nonsense, but Shea having 5 and Josh having 5 the same night, come on, that's not gonna be an ongoing thing.
It's not gonna be an ongoing thing, but I will give the Warriors credit for the way that they entice people into doing things that they want them to do. Steph is a master at that, and
so good.
I just think for us, the only way you improve at these situations is to play against these great teams in different situations. If you don't get them to give you a good game, like if they're just going to kind of treat you like a big brother with a little brother and just hold you back, like you're not going to learn anything. But if you can get to the point where you're like closing them out and they start putting out, you know, some really good lineups and they're really challenging you, like what we got to see at the end was some great vibes. So I'm appreciative of
that's it,
like how great the Warriors are. But on our level, I just want to look at it and be like, okay, what about the Warriors can stop Shea, Giddey, and J-Dub? What, like, look, they can stop maybe 2 of them, right? But in the end, we saw it before. Like, if we can find ways to keep J-Dub attacking, which, like, obviously he's a rookie, it's going to be an issue to always keep his foot on the gas as he's going. But for me, we saw that from Giddey and J-Dub all game. Anytime that they realized they could get to the basket, they were getting to the basket. They were knocking down shots when they were open. Giddey was hitting step back shots. He was knocked down, what, I think a 3 just within rhythm, you know. Yep. And even though we're not hitting a bunch of these shots every single time, they will come, and the teams will be forced to respect the players, and that's going to help everybody out there.
And let's just go through the 3 guys that we call our 3-headed monster out here. You've got J-Dub, 19 points. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 31. Josh Giddey, 21. All right, guys, that is huge for us. Mm-hmm. That is massive. It shows you that Josh Giddey took 18 shots. Shea took 24. J-Dub took 14, okay? This is what we need. This is what we need to see. We need to be able to see this and adding Chet with his 12 shots a game or 14 shots a game or whatever. We can do this. Mm-hmm. And everybody that's like, oh, Shea won't be able to pass KD's record for 2,500 points in the season. You know, I love what that one guy that he made the comment and said, you know, Shea's only 137 points off of the off of pace. Mm-hmm. 137 points off of pace. Now, next year, I think that shrinks because he becomes more efficient getting to the hole, getting to the foul line, right? So I do think there's an opportunity that Shea's going to break that Thunder record there. I also think that Josh Giddey is going to be one of those guys that he's going to consistently be up there as far as, you know, teasing the records of assists out there, because what he's going to do in a single season as far as assists is truly spectacular. The passing ability of Josh Giddey is so next level that, you know, it really is the NBA that is trying to catch up to Josh Giddey and what he's able to do. So I'm excited about the three of these guys. And of course, J-Dub, you cannot say enough about this Santa Clara young man. He's truly spectacular. He deserves all the respect and love. Mark and I were looking at the stats just before we got on, you know, ranking and where we believe that he belongs. And I think the longevity of where J-Dub and Chet and these guys that we picked up from this last draft are, I think you're looking at Jalen Williams as being a top 10 pick in 5 years from now, you know, in the redraft. And that's Jalen Williams in the top, let's just say top 15 to be nice to people out there. I think Jalen Williams will be in the top 15 for the redraft. I think you got J-Dub going to be in the top three for the redraft. And I think you have Chet going to be in the top three as well. Now, where does that leave Paolo and Methuen? You know, to me, I think Methuen is going to be one of those guys that is consistently have a dominant year in the NBA. Paolo, though, we'll find out.
All right, so like I promised you guys at the beginning, we've had over 200 people answer this poll, and we wanted to know what you guys thought, what would happen. All right, man, is this young core better than that 2010 team with the Thunder? What's going to happen next year, right? Where we went 50 wins, the 2010 Thunder won 50 wins, 50 wins, guys. Are we going to pass that? 73% of you thought next year we're going to pass 50 wins, and we're going to surpass that season that really put the Thunder on the map. So that,
if you had asked that question beginning of the year, it would have been, the numbers would have been flipped, bro. That's how much belief people are starting to have in this Thunder team, and it's so beautiful, man.
Yeah, man. So that's like, if you're starting to feel the energy, if you're starting to feel the vibes, like, we just asked the question, right? Because we wanted to know. We were looking back and we were like, hey, man, maybe because we feel it, maybe other people feel it too. I thought maybe it would be 50-50, but I'm surprised, man. It's fucking crazy. 75% of us. That's crazy.
Stay positive about this team, guys. Look at trades, yes, but look at trades at the end of the year, because we want these guys to develop as much as possible this year. I do not like it talking about trades. I will, especially on live events, because you guys ask us, but I don't like talking about it because it's always, which player am I going to lose off of this team? And it's never something I want to talk about because I'm so fond of each one of these young men. And I love each one of these young men. And that's everybody from Shea all the way down to our G League two-way players and Lindy Waters and Omowari. I love these guys. And I see some people, you know, ranking some of these guys and saying A's minus or, you know, A pluses and B's and D's. Like, I get it. Everybody wants to know where they're ranked. But to me, it's about that team, right, Mark? You said, where does this team rank amongst our team last year, you know, or last time that we went to the playoffs and won 50 wins? Like, where does this rank? Like, this team is built way better than that team was,
right?
Ever,
right?
You know, and that's the thing about it, is that the strength and the deepness of this team, that's the whole point of what we're trying to get across here, is that you don't take pieces out of there because you don't know what those pieces are going to be. You don't know what Osman Jang is going to be, or Trey Mann, or, you know, Darius Bazley. You don't know what they're going to turn into. So saying that, hey, we're going to trade one of these guys to get a better player, better version of that player, you know, that's a little bit down the road, to me is like, you know what? Sometimes it's just better to sit on a player like Bazley and make him believe that he can do this and you know, sign him to a team-friendly contract and make it a family atmosphere for him, because we need guys like this. We need guys that can go out there and be the heart of the team and get 2 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, and just ball out like Bazley did. So,
right.
To me, like, it's all about the depthness of this team that we bring and everybody buying into the system. When you bring somebody new in there, it takes time for them to buy in, and it takes time for them to figure out their groove. And we don't have that type of time for the Fly right now. We're about competing and trying to win right now into that into that playoffs right now.
Like, you have the two sides. You have the stars, the top, you know, players that we want to talk about, like Russ, KD, Ibaka, and Harden. Versus like SGA, Chet, Giddey, and J-Dub. But then you have the other side of it, like you're saying,
Dort.
Which is coaching.
Love Dort.
Which is the depth, the bench, all those things. So we feel like we're hitting it on both ends.
You said it. I want to ask you. Coaching. How do you feel this coaching staff compares to last time that we had, you know, Coach Brooks and his staff? Like, Coach Brooks and his staff, Coach Dagnon and his staff, how do you feel they compete?
Oh man, dude, I really like the way that we see the coaching and like on the court. Like the best thing for me about Coach Brooks was that he understood continuity. He understood way to get players to play together. But in the end, like you never really saw like an offensive like system or flow or like really.
Yeah, it was the isolation that he played.
Yeah, and defense was always like defend your man, right? Yeah. So. For me, it's easy to say.
We didn't do a lot of switches back then.
Yeah, I love Coach Daigneault. And yeah, I think it's honestly not
his modern defense, Coach D's modern defense and the way that we're playing it and not getting that 3-second call.
Yeah.
Like, bro, has there ever been a zone that has gotten less technical fouls for the 3-second? Like, there's never been anything like this, man. We play against teams all the time that get the technical for the 3-second trying to play the zone that we're playing.
Yeah.
Like, we're so next level, and that's all coming back to coaching.
Yeah.
The way that Coach D and the coaching staff preps this team every single fucking day is so next level that in the years down the road when Royce Young has done and written the book of the great Thunder dynasty, we're all going to look at the coaching staff and being like, well, look at all these coaches are head coaches all over the league, and it's all going to be because of what's happening in Oklahoma City.
Man, and we appreciate you guys joining us. We're going to be back. We'll go live hopefully tomorrow, pregame, like we try to do every game. So join us on YouTube if you want to see that. Make sure your notifications are on so that you get a little ding when we're up. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We love to ding your bell. We will be back.
Ring that bell, baby.
We will be back. We love you, and we will see you soon.